You too.
Blog Talk Radio.
There you go. There we go.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Psychic Funhouse. We have another episode this Friday evening, May 7th, 2021, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Mr. Laurence Bish. Laurence?
Bonjour, bonjour, everyone. And I'm here with my lovely co-host, Mr. Espinoza, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza, to be precise. Here we have a guest tonight. Is that true?
Yes, we sure do. We are graced this evening with the Reverend Diana Priestley. And she is gracing us today with her presence. Reverend Diana, also known as Rev D, is a native New Yorker, and she's been here in Southern California since 1975. Okay. She's traveled the world as a flight attendant before coming to LA to raise her family, three children who are all blessed with their own unique intuitive abilities. She has been aware of her gifts as far back as she can remember. They have allowed her to an exciting and unique perspective on her walk through 40 years in the beauty field. Okay. As well as 30 years in ministry and the healing arts from a place of grace, humility, divine love, and a wicked sense of humor. Her abilities and her love of people are channeled in her spiritual practice, as well as being the spiritual director of the well-being ministry within a global church containing 28 ministries and thousands of people. She also teaches and counsels, but you also touch them too, right?
Get it right, Michael. Jeez.
Her hospice work experience has allowed her to bridge the spiritual to the supernatural. So Rev D is back from a two-year hiatus, inward journey, and she's in the process of writing what will be several books. So we are graced with her presence, and no further ado, here she is, Reverend Diana Priestley.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show, Rev.
Thank you. Yeah. I am really excited to be here. This is kind of my first time coming up out of my cocoon.
Okay.
In a lot of healing work and a healing journey. So I am thrilled to be here with you gentlemen this evening and everyone out there. The ones I know about and the ones that I have yet to meet.
Yeah. Nice. Well, we're so glad to have you with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So before we begin, would you do us the honors of opening with a prayer, an invocation?
I sure will. My pleasure. And so let's just take a moment. Taking in a long, deep breath and releasing it out there over the airwaves, the sound waves into the universe, knowing that what takes place here this evening as we move forth happens from a space of absolute and deep gratitude. Gratitude for what has already been ordained in the spiritual realm. It is something that we have decided to come here this time, this night, this day, with everyone listening, everyone thinking about listening, everyone just being in that space, because we have shown up here this evening with the intention and the knowing that all is well and all is good. So those who are waiting, those who don't even know about this yet, we know everyone is blessed and there is a healing that has taken place from a place beyond which we haven't even known about yet. But we know it is all good. It is good, good, and very good. Time is blessed. This time is filled with love. This time is filled with joy. And it stays. It is permanent now, what has happened. I give thanks for this and so much more. My co-host, for the energy, for the love, and I allow it all to be now by simply saying, and so it is. Amen.
Oh.
Amen, and so it is.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and
why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Rev D? Tell our listeners.
Yes. And so before I even dive into this, I will say, even though I'm a minister, I'm not a priest. So that last name really is Presley and not Priestley. Just like you know who, and I'm not going to say it again. Okay.
You got that?
So, okay.
Got it. All right. So Michael and I are old friends, and we have worked together for many years in what is known as a well-being center in the fabulous church that we both attend when we are in attendance and when it is open.
Yes.
Yes. And now I would like to talk about who is this Reverend Diana? What is she all about? So for as far back as I can remember, and I mean that literally, from looking down at my feet before I could walk in those little white high-top shoes that I'm dating myself with, but that's it, that there was a lot more going on around me that I seemed to be the only one who could see most of it. People and beings that moved about in the everyday world that I lived in, but no one else could see them or hear them.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that's where I start from. I will give you a little story.
What age was this about, approximately?
I'm going to say before I walked.
Okay.
Because I remember the shoes. I remember pulling up. I remember grabbing on to things. And then I do remember walking. And I don't know why the shoes stand out so much. However, I do love shoes, so maybe that's what it is. I carried that with me full life. Anyway, here's this little girl walking around. And I grew up in Harlem, New York, in one of those picturesque, scary-looking architectural magnificence buildings that contain tons of railroad apartments. Okay, and what would happen is you could walk down one street and there would be lined up all buildings, and you see the windows of all the apartments as you look up. And if you entered the building and from whatever apartment you're in, on the other end that wasn't facing the street, it was facing a courtyard that was common to maybe four or five other buildings that all shared this courtyard. And there was a clothesline from every window going across the courtyard to another building. So you washed your clothes, you hung them out on the clothesline, and the neighbors seemed to be able to do all of this in sync. So the clotheslines were usually full of clothes, whether it was the clothes from that apartment or the one across from you. Now, I paint that picture because there was a family gathering, and I come from a large family. At the time, there were six brothers, all older, and I had an older sister and a sister that was 11 months younger, or 18 months younger. Okay. So this particular family gathering, somebody's birthday, it might have even been mine. I don't know. I don't remember that part. But my two brothers that were close to me in age, one was 5 years older and the other one was 6 years older, we were sent from the living room where the major part of the party was going on to the kitchen for them to retrieve something. So I'm tagging along, little white shoes, right? They stick me up in the high chair while they proceeded to gather up whatever it was they were sent for. It was nighttime. And this is the scene. So there they are at the table. I'm in the high chair swinging my feet. And something hits against the window. Bam, 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 the kitchen window. Now, it's pitch black outside. But the knock was loud enough, it got our attention, and I would say all three of us at the same time looked at the window. And there in the window, I'm just going to say being. There was a being in the window with this hand, or that's what you would call a hand. Maybe had three long, what would have been fingers. And
What floor in the building are you on? Are you in the ground floor?
We were about two stories up. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So they screamed. I screamed. And they took off running and left me in the high chair.
What?
Somehow I wound up getting out of the high chair enough so that I kind of dragged the high chair behind me. Adrenaline, I might as well have been a linebacker because the adrenaline, I was so terrified. It was like we all flew down the hall screaming after seeing this thing. And, of course, the adults are, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And my brothers are hysterical and trying to describe what they saw. And I remember being too young to say anything except scream and cry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I believe it was at that point that I knew there was something I could appeal to so that I would not have to go through that again. And so as I look back on it over the years, what I must have said was, please, I don't want to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still remain keenly aware, being in the presence of other things that people could not see. Mm-hmm. Sometimes hearing things, like a little whisper in the ear, knowing something, especially if there was a danger where I needed to leave a place, et cetera. Welcome to my world.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not, these kinds of things happened in my family all the time. So it was not something that creeped everybody out, because my mother was extremely psychic. To some degree, the other siblings in the family were, that they would laugh off or talk about. But from my perspective, I seem to really take it all for heart, to heart, and really hone in on stuff and make it a part of my life. You know, like really give it a respect. Mm-hmm. Other people would, there's that dream again, there's that. And speaking of dreams, that really is what I asked for in my bargain to be able to deal with the abilities. Is, can you bring it to me in a dream? Can someone tell me in a dream? And so that is something that happened even up till last night. You know, I will get visitations, people who have crossed over, or people who, you know, my fellow healers and people who hang out in the realms that I do, you know, I will see them get messages from the spirit world, the psychic realm, the supernatural, whatever you want to call it. There is another dimension or two or three that exist as we exist, and it's not anything to, you know, turn into a ghost story or woo-woo. It does exist, and I do have that knowing that it is there, they are there, and mm-hmm. we work hand in hand sometimes to get work done, mm-hmm. to do things in my hospice work,
mm-hmm.
in the training that I've had. You know, you can sit with someone, like being, you know, they title it death doula or hospice worker. You can be there and help someone to the other side, or be there and hold mm-hmm. a space for them while they're working out their last agreements that they have with this physical body before they step out and go and do another kind of work. That's how I like to look at it. So I didn't mean to hang on that story that way, because this way of life is something that has accompanied me throughout my life, even up to today. And there mm-hmm. are so many stories and so many things on the path. I just wanted to get this one piece in before we go off, because, you know, we could be here for a lot of hours with the stories. And I'm going to invite you, when the books finally come out, get the books, because there's something. I also did training to work with angels, and the training mm-hmm. came after I experienced some of the work that angels come and do. And I'm going to say one in particular, Archangel Michael. And this was some years ago, I would say
about 20 years, 22 years ago. A client of mine, when I was, you know, working in a salon, I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. She comes in, and she's someone who was clairvoyant and made her living as a alcohol and drug abuse counselor and also a psychic. So she comes in.
Wow, what a combo.
You know, we haven't seen each other for years. And she's sitting there, and I'm working on her hair, and she goes, you know, I didn't really come here for you to highlight my hair, you know, although I used to do her hair all the time. She goes, he wouldn't leave me alone, kept bugging me for weeks and weeks. So I finally acquiesced and I came in. I have a message for you, and I hope you don't think I'm crazy. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? And she goes, okay, Archangel Michael has a message for you, or I have a message from him. He said to tell you that from now on, he's going to be with you, and he is going to fight your battles for you.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm in the middle of cutting her hair, and I looked at her and I went, wow, thanks. Thanks, Archangel Michael. And I'm getting back to the haircut. And I got these chills. I mean, like waves going through my body. And she goes, did you feel some chills just then? And I said, yeah. And she goes, yeah. He just wrapped his wings around you. And he said, you're not taking him serious. But you are going to see in the next week. He is going to be there for you. All right, so about a week later, I get a call like 5:30 in the morning. My oldest daughter was living and working in New York as a model. I got a call from an emergency room in Brooklyn. 6 o'clock in the morning, I had come down with the flu. And when I tell you, my body ached so badly that I could barely pick up the phone. The ER nurse, you know, she asked for me, and I said, yes, this is she. And she goes, okay, your daughter is okay, which, you know, don't tell a parent that, because, like, my heart sank. She was in a car accident. It was a head-on collision. She was in the back of a cab, and a UPS truck went the wrong way down a one-way street. Her here with me. She's waiting to go into surgery, but she is okay. She will be okay. All right, so I was too sick to even move, but I was absolutely terrified. Now, I called my sister who lived in New York. She immediately got to the hospital. And when I hung up from talking to her, I called a longtime prayer practitioner, which is what they call them in the Church of Religious Science. It's a 4-year training, but it's a powerful, powerful profession. So I called my practitioner, and she prayed. All right, so now I'm going to fast forward because this can drag on and on.
All right.
So while my daughter was in the hospital, in the emergency room, waiting for surgery because her face was badly injured, a priest comes out and goes to the gurney, and he goes, how are you? And she was terrified, which, by the way, she had just booked 2 commercials for that week, and her face was badly injured at that moment. So she's terrified, horrified, and hysterical. So the priest introduces himself, or he, you know, he tries to comfort her, and he asked her if she was Catholic. She said, well, she was raised Catholic, but did not practice that anymore. So he prayed with her. He raised the gauze off of her face, and he said, you're going to be fine. You're going to heal up just fine. And then he said, now, if you are afraid, you need anything, you have someone come down the hall. My office is down the hall. I'm Father Michael. The surgeon who performed the miracle, I'm telling you, it was amazing, Dr. Michael. The attorney who handled everything for the accident, Michael. The man that she went on to marry and have a child with, who she had dated twice, found out about the accident, came to the hospital. His name is Michael. Now, I wasn't getting all of this. This is us talking, you know, weeks later. I had just started ministerial training. And I had decided if I was going to go that route, the church I was in really wasn't an example of what I wanted to deal with or how I wanted to walk. I needed to get some more, you know, good strength behind what I knew I had to do. So I decided to go to another church, who the senior minister and founder happened to be Michael, who was also at that time the dean of the seminary I was going to. Now, who is one of the co-host names? What is that? Michael? Everything in my life that was everything significant. Any milestone from that point on, since 1996, that was, yeah, that had to be, yeah, 96. Anything significant, the first thing out of the box is Michael. So that's going to be a book in itself. That whole thing is dedicated to the archangels and the way they have presented themselves and guided me and assisted in my life and the life of everyone around me that I come in contact with.
Wow. It's pretty amazing.
So
all the Michaels showing up.
Every turn, I am a Reiki master, and the people that I trained with, when it came time for me to get out and start teaching, because the woman who trained me then turned around and would have me come and assist her in her master level trainings. And the first place we went to was in Vista, California, at a monastery that was just, it's called the Abbey. Okay, I thought I would have it. Anyway, it's in Vista. It's a monastery that is magnificent on top of a hill. And the first thing I did when I got up there and unpacked was to go check out the sanctuary, because it was in the round. And I mean, the place was just divine. And as you walk in, you go through the doors, and I looked up, and who's over the door but Archangel Michael? Mm. And they called the sanctuary the Archangel Michael sanctuary. I just, my best friend at the time knew, and you know, people that are close to me, they know about Archangel Michael because they usually get to experience him as well. And it's just, it's amazing. And we just laugh, you know, we just laugh now because I will tell the story to someone. I shared the story to two new friends one time. We were in a restaurant, and they were looking at me like, what a wonderful story, blah, blah, blah. And the waiter came over, and he's taking our order, and he's smiling, and he goes, "Now, you listen. If you guys need anything, anything, you have them call me." And he takes his name badge. He said, "Just have them call Michael." I'm the only one in here.
So this has been throughout your life then? You've been
since
these Michaels?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
What the message was is, I'm here now. I will be fighting your battles.
Yep.
And I will always be.
That's incredible. That's great. I love that. I never heard that story from you before. Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So my journey as a minister, Archangel Michael shows up, you know, by one of my great teachers and mentors, Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith. You know, they're all there. They're all there. When I got to the church at Agape International Spiritual Center, the first practitioner, because I was a practitioner then when I arrived, I had been a practitioner for a few years, and I wanted to go to my first practitioner meeting, and I go in, and there are two people. Well, it was around Christmas time. They were helping to set up the Christmas tree. The guy turns around, like, man and woman, and the guy turns around, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Hi, how are you?" And I introduce myself, and he puts his hand out. He goes, "Hi, I'm Michael." And I went, "I know you are. I know you are. I know you are."
Wow. Can we pause right here? And would like for all of us to give our contact information. Our lovely co-host, Lawrence Birch, would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. I can do that. You get to have the last position so people really get a chance to focus on your information.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
So you can call or text 541-344-7534. My email is givingtree@earthlink.net. My Facebook page is Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and my website is givingtreefarm.com. How about you, Michael?
You can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, or you can call or text me at 562-457-0457. How about you, Reverend D?
So if you want to speak with me or book for anything, that would be 323-557-6020. And my email address is Rev Diana, Diana, 212@gmail.com. And I'm on Facebook as Diana L. Presley.
Nice. So when I first met you, you came into, what do you call it, run the ministry for healing. What did you call it? I can't remember.
The well-being ministry.
The well-being ministry. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't know you
and
were clairvoyant.
And was that
the
revelation?
Yeah.
Say that again.
And I didn't know you were clairvoyant until a little further later. And then you mentioned some stories. And so all of that was really new to me. And I was surprised, but not shocked. But I was like, oh, how cool. She does this work. So how has that served you, you know, being clairvoyant and now that you're, you know, hearing the story of when you were young and saw that face and heard somebody knock on the window up on the second floor, how has this served you in your ministry and the work that you've done?
So the clairvoyant, I'm gonna put it all together, clairvoyant, clairaudient, all of that. It's work that I really kind of sat on. I have a lot of friends who work in that part, on that part of life. You know, they earn their livings as psychics or do stuff like that. And so to keep in practice and I guess to develop further, I would trade readings with them, do things like that. But, you know, I trained as a practitioner. I trained as a minister. And on the ministerial side of life, I worked more with clients outwardly, praying with them, doing the spiritual counseling, workshops, seminars, teaching classes and things like that. And it was, there were just times where just being a psychic, and I'm not saying that to put that down or make it smaller, it, some of that just didn't seem appropriate at the time. Not everybody is into that or are ready for that. And there are ways you can get messages and give messages to people without spreading out a deck of cards or picking up a pendulum or something like that. Now, I also get messages in my ears. So I literally could have someone in my office or in the healing room, and they're really going through something. And I already had gotten the message that they would be okay or help was on the way or whatever, you know, was going to be needed. And I just couldn't just come out and go, well, you know, the guides just told me or the angels just told me, when they're coming to me for some other kind of work. So I found ways to work it in, language it in, allow it to show up in another way so that I wasn't dealing one-on-one as the quote-unquote the psychic. So, you know, in a meeting where I have 140 body workers and we're getting ready for a healing conference, to come out and say, well, you know, Archangel Michael's over in the corner and he just told me how to lay this whole thing out. And, you know, the chiropractor or the massage therapist, not all of them are going to, like, excuse me, Reverend, what did you say? So there's a, you know, you live your life in layers and you move about in layers. And you also do it from a place of knowing, which is what I feel the ultimate gift has been to me, is that praying is a way of moving towards something and putting together a formula to allow a manifestation of an event or a thing or something. But the knowing is actually already being there, actually having experienced it before
you ever utter a sound, you absolutely know it from the fabric of your being. And so to answer your question, it's the knowing, and then it's the appropriate communication of what has to happen. It's like, you know, being the head of that ministry, I wasn't going to stand up in front of everybody for the first time meeting them and go, well, welcome to my world. And I see you have all arrived with your spirit guides. And you, and you already know we're going to be really good friends. You know, that gets kind of crazy.
You're no fun.
I know. It's like shaking your hand or giving you a hug for the first time and going, Michael, well, thank you, Archangel. Here we go again.
Exactly. One thing I didn't know about you that I'm learning for the first time is that you work in hospice care. That must have been really interesting.
Yes.
And so I'm sure that helped you big time with clients, right? People ready to transition.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things when I moved churches, when you were in ministerial training, you had to do internships. You had to do an internship every semester. And they didn't allow you to do it at your home church. You had to go out to other churches and get out there in the world. At the time of the religious science churches. So lucky me, because I moved churches and now my new home church, since I was brand new there, I was given permission to do my internships wherever I wanted, including my new home. So I was able to internship with some pretty phenomenal ministers who were running ministries at Agape. And Reverend Joan Steadman was the first minister I worked with. And she was the head of the One from the Heart ministry. And so there was a lot of different ministries within that ministry. And so I got to do hospice work. I got to do pastoral care. I got to work with animals. And so the hospice work really touched me in a very deep place, because I feel like one of the gifts I was given was the fact that I am able to sit and hold a space and be with someone who is about to pass, and actually sometimes go ahead of them. And I have done that in the dream state. When I'm working with someone, I will go intentionally into a dream state one night and go, you know, I want to see how I can help them over. And I'll actually go into the tunnel and show them what is going to happen, where they're going to go, all of that stuff. I have experienced that in the flesh, in the dream state, you name it. And so it's very powerful. And what it also allowed me to see is the human condition all around that, all around a person crossing over if there's time. Now, sometimes I would go to the bedside and they're about there, or sometimes it's months, and I just get to be a part of this whole process of this person disconnecting from the earth plane and that silver coil being detached and them going on.
And sometimes they'll come back after everything is over. Maybe not that day or night, but, you know, sometimes a month or so later. And they'll show me or they'll give me a message. You know, I've had people come back and go, can you please tell everybody, you know, I've graduated, or, you know, I'll see them in magnificent robes or stuff like that. It's really fascinating. I had asked not to see, like I'm sitting here now speaking with you. I asked, I don't want to see in person. I don't want to do that. The experience terrified me. But I will say, once I got attuned into Reiki, especially when I hit the master level, all of those chakras and things, they opened back up again. But I will still walk around if I hear something or whatever, and I know it's, you know, a message, or I'll go, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you. Let's bring it in a dream. Okay, let's be nice. Everybody be polite, you know. So.
When I first got into this work, and a friend of mine who is psychic, she had told me, because, you know, most of the time I could feel the spirits more than I could see them. But
yes.
Anyway, she told me, she's like, look, you're in control of this, right? Not them. And
yes.
So just tell your spirit guides to let them know, you don't want to see anything negative or scary. And so, I did that. And that really helped a lot. And I didn't want to feel the scary stuff too, because sometimes it was, ooh,
yes.
Yeah. Cuckoo-ies.
Yes.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's you know, as a little kid or a young child, it's like, woof, you know. And I'm from the era in New York, there used to be this, what was the name of that? Zachary's Theater of Horrors or something on Friday night. And, you know, everything was black and white TV. And I got to see the, you know, the Draculas and the Frankensteins and all of that. So I wasn't trying to see anything in my house or in the hallways or things like that. I just was not trying to do that. And one other short thing, I'd been on hiatus because I had an illness, and it had to do with my thyroid. And as I did not, I went a few years not paying attention to certain signs. And so I remember before I was actually hospitalized and it did become a critical thing, I was at my other daughter's home and I was asleep. I was having trouble breathing. And so, the bedroom that I was asleep in, you could actually hear the water. She lives down at the beach. And you could actually hear the water. It's about a block and a half away. But at night, the sound carried. And I fell asleep to that, the wave, right? And I thought, wow, I can really sleep, because I really had a hard time breathing. And sure enough, at some point, it must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning, I feel all this and hear this thumping and feel all this pressure on the bed. And six of my brothers are all on the other side now, and my mother and my parents. And the last brother to pass away, he'd only been gone maybe a year or two. First one, I sit up, and here are all of my brothers and my mother falling through the wall onto the bed. I mean, literally, I imagine if a bunch of people ran in and jumped on your bed. And I sat up, and before I could say anything, the oldest brother, the one who was the last one to pass, He snatched me up by my pajamas and stood me on my feet. And he said, breathe. You're not breathing. And I opened my mouth to breathe. And I also got that instant, wait a minute, you guys are dead, you know, because I'm always dead. My family, the sense of humor is renowned. We were so crazy. And I went, you guys are dead, and they disappeared. And then I looked down, and I was standing on my feet. He stood me up on my feet. Mm. And I couldn't breathe. I was having what I thought was a very bad asthma attack. So I ran to get an apparatus to take care of it. And as it turned out, a week or so later, I actually was having, I was drowning. You know, my lungs had been filling up with fluid. But all of that to say, this is how profound it is in my life. And at the time, I was rushed to the hospital, and all these tests were given, and, you know, it was all this drama. And so the doctor comes in, and he's trying to be really consoling, because my daughter was sitting at the foot of the gurney, and he basically said, we are going to try to save you today, but we don't know what's wrong with you, and your heart and lungs are filling up with fluid. You know, because they went down all the checklists, no cancer, no drinking, no smoking, no bad habits, so why are you dying, you know? He said, but we're going to try to save you today. And so, you know, my daughter, I could see the panic in the tears. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? There is not one note of celestial music going on in this room. I don't see one dead relative. I am not dying today. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Mom, be serious. He's trying to tell you. I go, I'm not going anywhere. And then just like that, something whispered in my right ear. And they whispered what it is I was experiencing. And I looked at the doctor and I said, you know what, could this be a thyroid storm? And he goes, that's it. We checked everything but that. And then they just jumped on me with all of this stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, a week later, I was home.
That's amazing. Wow. Are you ready to take some calls? We want to switch now and go to the phone lines.
Sure. I will take your lead.
Okay. All right, everybody. So we are going to take some calls. We are here with the lovely Reverend Diana Presley. And she's and along with us are going to take some calls. So tell us where you're calling from and what's your name. So we're going to go first to area code 605. Where are you calling from, 605, and what's your name?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My name is Miranda. I'm calling from New Jersey. And hello to your guest.
Hi, Miranda.
Hello.
Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Reverend D. I love your last name.
Okay. A Jersey
huge
girl.
Fan.
Let's go, East Coast. What you got?
So I would love whatever you pick up on me, if you don't mind giving me like a mini reading.
Well, I think the way it works, if I heard it right, you can get a question, and we're happy to, because we've got a line of people waiting. I can't. We can't get into the reading, but if you have a question.
Okay. Question. My husband is trying to find a job. Do you see anything around that, like when he would find something?
Okay. So I'll just get you what I got. He will find something soon. He does more than one thing. He's qualified. He's got a couple of credentials there. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so he's a multifaceted guy, and it's been a minute, but you let him know he can spread his wings here shortly, and you guys will come up on out of that little dungeon that you think you're in, and you're really not, but you're good. You're going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Lawrence, do you have anything?
I'm getting something that maybe isn't quite on your topic, but is your husband's health an issue at all for any reason?
Not that we're aware of, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want to, you know, put any alarm out there or anything, but I would just maybe keep an eye on things. I kind of see that it's not a serious issue, but I think he would benefit from, if he hasn't had a checkup in a while, maybe just make an appointment, kind of having somebody just kind of give him a general workover.
Okay.
At some point soon. That's what I have, Michael.
Okay. I'm getting that show that to me yet. I'm getting he is going to have some offers come through. It feels kind of like in summertime, some things are going to come through. And I'm seeing two, maybe three jobs that will present themselves to him. And you guys will have to choose from two or three and not just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Reverend Diana. I think, you'll come out of this space that you're in. I mean, it doesn't feel like, you know, it feels kind of like a downturn right now, but you guys are going to swing right up and out of this place. And
message is the drought is over. The drought is over. Mm-hmm. The sun is coming out. Don't worry.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I have to not worry about the health issue now. I'm a little right.
Yeah, I didn't bring that up to spook you. It's just it's a good idea to be on the prevention side of things, and that's
right.
Just what I'm being shown. So I don't think it's anything serious, but I do think it's something that, you know, probably should get looked at just in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Just go to the GP and have them, the annual checkup early.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you all. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Miranda. Good luck
Bye-bye.
To both of you. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. That was good. That was good. Reverend Diana, I wanted to know if I can ask about this one. A long time ago when we were working together at one of the conferences, you did a reading. And it was about a woman that crossed over. And she was stuck. Do you remember that?
Well, you know, I'm going to say when I'm in the space and I'm getting messages and they come, it's not usually something, unless it's something so profound. It doesn't stay with me. But if there, and this is someone pertaining to you.
No. It was you did a reading. You were helping somebody who was doing some work at the conference.
Okay.
And you did some psychic work for him. And there was one of his clients, their sibling transitioned. and you saw this, and the sister that transitioned was stuck. Do you remember? I'm not trying to give too much information about it, but I was just so blown away by that story. I was wondering if you could share that with me or with us.
You know
viewers.
What? It's not if it's what I'm thinking about. The sibling was stuck, and did we helped her move on, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You believe it or not, there's been a few of those. So I'm not remembering exactly. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering exactly. But I've had that
with
way more than one.
It was an angel practitioner or somebody who worked with angels, this guy. And it was somebody that went to him.
You're thinking Jerry. Uh-huh.
Jerry.
And it was one of his people. Because I would fill in when his people couldn't make it, or if it was late at night and he was doing an extra session. And so sometimes we get these surprises. But you're going to have to tell the story, or maybe when you're telling it, I can remember. But totally out the window, except happened a few times.
It was, I've never forgot it. I mean, once you said you were talked about it, I was just blown away. But apparently his client went to them, and you were doing the psychic work on the psychic end of it. And the sibling committed suicide, and she shot herself. But her spirit was stuck. Do you remember that? Like her spirit left her body before.
And this is so the way when Michael saying this, this is not anything I knew in advance, and the woman had not said anything.
Right.
Jerry was doing the work with her, and that's something that came up, and the sibling, if I remember correctly, came into the room, and it was a very emotional time, but we did get her sent to a place of healing to where she could move on and go into the light.
Because she was still traumatized.
She hadn't,
like the spirit
even though
left
she
her body and she was still traumatized. Right.
Yes. She pulled the trigger, but she didn't realize she was dead. And she didn't realize that it was going to be like that, moving to the other side in that way. And, you know, we take our experience with us for a time, because there does reach a time where all of that human stuff is lifted off, and then we go into a healing mode, and then we go on to do our work, and you know, we never stop working. I like when you hear rest in peace, or you know, sleep now. My experience is there's not a whole lot of resting and sleeping. There is continuing on to the next level of your life. Sorry.
Right. That's what I've encountered, too. There ain't no sleeping over there or resting.
There's
it's
not
learning.
A whole lot of that. There is a period of healing, though, because when you move, you the levels you move into, you have to drop, and the Earth's experience for that lifetime has to finish dropping away. And there is actually a healing that happens there. And then you move on, because then you're remembering who you really are and the truth of your being. And then it turns into something else.
Right. Yeah. Should we take another caller? I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. You ready, Lauren? All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're going to take area code 229. Hello, 229. What's your name and Melvin. Where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Melvin. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hello.
Okay.
Can you say your name again?
Melvin.
Melvin. Hi, Melvin.
Thank you. Okay, Melvin. I was just saying, can I get a general reading, please?
The way it works, Melvin, is we are, because
can,
we have a line of people,
yes, ma'am.
A general reading would not be appropriate, but if you have a question for us, we can take that.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Well, could you tell me, do I have an increase in my income coming up, my finances?
Yeah, I see there you and those around you have been having a really rough time. I see two streams of income that are new that will be coming in. You work very hard. You have worked very hard in your life, and so it will come through work. So I'm going to say there are two new opportunities that will be coming your way shortly. I'd say over the next few weeks.
Okay.
So get ready. Get ready.
You know what?
But you go ahead.
Do you know, like, what type of job? Because I'm on disability right now.
Okay. So you're on disability, but there are other ways for income to come in. You will get those offers. You will get the opportunity to have some other income come in.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Do you know, like, what type of jobs there will be? Excuse me.
Okay. What I'm getting now is there will be an opportunity where you're working with your hands, assisting somebody, like you will be helping someone out with a workload mm-hmm. they have, and they will actually bring stuff to you to do for them.
Okay.
You'll see, it might sound a little confusing right now, but you'll look up and there it'll be a phone call. One will come on over the phone, and the other one will be someone coming to your house. These are both people that you already know, and they will mm-hmm. be referring. Okay?
Wow. Yes, ma'am. Is that something
okay.
to do with coaching? Because that's something to do with coaching football? Because I'm good with my hands here working with young kids, and I want to get
mm-hmm.
back to coaching. So will that
well,
be,
what
is
I'm,
a,
what, right. What I am getting is, and this is the exact message, two streams of income. They will come to you. They will have been referred to you.
Mm-hmm.
And one will be bringing you something, and one will be calling you on the phone. To break it down from there, that is all I'm getting. So for you, what I would do is to sit quietly this evening after we're done and you're done listening and kind of make a note of the people that you know and what you named about coaching and the different areas of people that you know that you can offer some assistance to, and they will pay you in return. Okay?
Wow. Yes, ma'am. Is there a contact number I can talk? Speak, you can do private readings offline.
Yes, you can call me on the phone.
Okay, hold on. Let me get. I have it.
Did you get the phone number?
No, ma'am. Let me get it. have a pen.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Do you have something to write with? Because we are going to have an opportunity to give our information out again if I...
No, I have a pen and paper right now.
Okay, so that's just put Rev D down real quick, and it's 323-57-6020, and I'm on the West Coast. Yeah, 323-557-6020. I'm on the West Coast, so I'm 3 hours earlier than you.
Right. Yes, ma'am, because it's like 10:15 here. Is it okay for me to give you a call after the show?
Well, I will still be on the phone after the show, so if you would like to, yeah, you know what? Go ahead and give me a call. Wait an hour and then call, okay?
Okay, about 11. Okay. 15.
All right, I think my two cohorts here have something they can share with you as well.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lawrence, do you have anything for Melvin?
Yeah, maybe. Melvin, you mentioned you have a disability. Do you mind if I ask you about that, if it's not too personal?
But yes, I have. I got in a car wreck, and my kidneys went out, and now I'm in dialysis. But before they went out, I got injured on my jaw, and it messed up my back. 2 herniated discs, nerve damage, and that's when I started on disability. But now, sadly, I got in a car wreck in 2019, and I thought I was fine, but then found out I had cracked ribs, and now my kidneys went out. So I'm in dialysis, the doctor told me that they may not even resume to come back, but I believe they are. I keep telling him it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's been ever since February of this year.
I'm sorry to hear about all that and the car wreck.
Yes.
That's challenging. Did you are they giving you any kind of physical therapy for your injuries from the automobile accident, Melvin?
But yes, sir. I have already finished up that program, and already got a settlement for that.
Okay.
And they didn't pick up anything about my kidneys after the case was over.
Oh,
but it is
right.
Related to the car wreck. So
sure.
I don't know about can I get the case reopened or not and add that to it, but I didn't sign off on it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lawyer that you worked with or an insurance company? Have you talked to them about it?
I have a physical therapist that comes to my house. I haven't finished that program. My doctor is going to set up me a more intense physical therapist where I go actually to the gym and work out again with a physical therapist and strengthen my lower extremities and strengthen my upper body strength. And but I'm not able to walk and stuff. I'm able to walk and move around, but sometimes I get weak and I get unbalanced sometimes.
Sure,
emotional range is kind of unbalanced.
Well,
I
had a couple suggestions just to throw out there for you. One is, are you anywhere near where you can go to a pool and do any kind of exercises in the water or anything like that? Is that something you have access to or you'd be willing to try out?
Oh, yes, sir. We have a nice local YMCA here that I can go in and use their pool. And also I can put that in physical therapy treatment once I get approved to go.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to find that if you're able to do some regular hydrotherapy, let's call it, that you're going to really get some good results from that in addition to the other stuff you're already doing. So that would be a good avenue to explore some more, Melvin. The other thing I'm getting is that's great that you've got a physical therapist that's coming to your home. I get the sense that there's another person who you could access who has maybe more of a energetic component to what they do. I don't know if that would be something like Reiki or maybe like pranic healing, something like that. But maybe, you know, when you talk to Reverend V later, she can give you some ideas about that. But I think there's a need that you have to have something more than just the physical working on behalf for you to get you back up and running. You know, you talked about your kidneys too. So I would I would be open to looking into that to really get back on your feet, both literally and figuratively. Okay?
Yes. Yes, sir. What percentage do you think my kidneys, will my kidneys restore recovery?
Percentage of your kidneys? Oh, well, that's a good question. I think what I see is you've got one that's stronger than the other one, and that one's kind of taking over in a sense for the more damaged one. So I don't know that the one that's not as able to be active is really going to come back much more than it already is. So your other kidney is kind of the one that's doing a lion's share right now. And I don't think you're going to go backwards any, but I don't know that you're going to gain a bunch of ground at this point. But you're going to be okay in terms of being able to be productive. But it is something that, you know, it's going to be a while before it heals. And you may, you know, then I don't want to be a rain on your parade because things can change even after I mention them. But I don't know that you're going to gain a tremendous amount of recovery from the kidneys that you have. That's not what I see, but that's just me. So, it's not going to get worse. At least not.
But I still have to go to dialysis.
Say that again.
Do I still have to go to dialysis or the rest of my life? Because I go 3 times a week.
Yeah, I know. Dialysis is a real pain. It's very cumbersome and can be painful, literally. So, yeah, I think you'll probably get to the point where either you can do some home dialysis or your visits will be less frequent. I don't know that you're really going to be completely free of needing that service, unfortunately. But, you know, and that, again, that could change, but that's just what I've seen. So.
Okay.
I do want to say you're
sir.
A really nice guy.
My
guys are telling me that you're like super, super helpful, super friendly. You're the guy that everybody turns to get stuff done. You're really well loved, really well cared for, and really respected in your community. You're a very integral and important part of that network. So you're really, really valued in by the people that are around you. So that's a huge, huge resource you have going for you in terms of recovering. Getting your health back.
Yeah. So. Wow. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll give me hope and give me more hope. And I just got this feeling that I know that it's not that I'm going to regain function. It may not be 100%, but it will be close to it.
Well, that's a good vision to work with and keep foremost, because that's a really positive pathway to continue on, Melvin, for sure. Michael,
yes,
did you have something for Melvin?
Sure.
Hi,
Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I was seeing is I think you're right. Your kidney function will come back up. I'm not getting a percentage and seeing a number on that, but I get it will come back up. Just try to keep your body, you know, exercising it and moving
you know, as much as you can.
Yes.
Right, to restore movement and function. And the other thing I was seeing was it feels kind of like I kept seeing like money come from the government. And it feels like you'll be connected to the government in a way of it's doing work for the government, maybe the city or the state. I don't know exactly what it is, but it feels kind of like a job where, like, you, what do you call those jobs? You know, like for the elections where you go and set up and something like that. So it feels like that, but it feels connected to the government. I see money coming from them to you, or maybe it's a disability. I don't know, but it feels more like a job and not just a check.
Yeah, I think yes, sir. Because when I was in the Marine Corps, we had bad water in North Carolina. It was toxic water, and they sent a lot of. Me and my ex-wife was staying on the base, and so a lot of Marines have the conversation for drinking that bad water, the toxic water. And at that period of time in the 80s, I was there. And I'm going to apply for that because they said I have some type of kidney disease, a rare kidney disease.
There you go.
A lot of Marines have got paid a lot of money from the government. So that's what I'm going to start on that. And then I'm going to start on seeing that I can get an increase in my income, benefits, a check from the military.
Yeah.
So I'd be approved for that. Those two things.
Good.
I'm definitely going to be working on those two things.
Yeah. All right. Well, that could be it. Well, all the best to you, Melvin, and let us know how it goes. Yeah.
Okay, I will. You guys
all
are
right.
Best. I thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling, Melvin. We appreciate it.
All right. Keep up the good work.
Take care, brother.
Wow. So we're, what's the time it is, people?
What?
We're at the closing. This went so quickly.
That was fast.
Right? Well, Reverend Diana, I want to thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate
you
coming on and talking to us and doing readings with us. It was a pleasure. Yeah. So how can people reach you, Reverend Diana?
The best is call or text 323-557-6020. I'm on Pacific Standard Time. So regular hours, you know, perhaps between nine and six or seven in the evening is good.
Okay.
My email is revdiana212@gmail.com.
All right. Mr. Leonce, how can people get a hold of you?
Yes, you can contact me for readings or healings, shamanic work, tarot work, herbalism, 541-344-7534, call or text. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. My Facebook page is GivingTree Herbs, and my website is givingtreefarm.com. How about you, Mr. Espinosa?
Right.
What's a good way to contact you for...
You can reach me through my website. You can schedule a reading or a pranic healing at michaeljespinoza.com or you can call or text me at 562-457-0457. Before we sign off, Mr. Lawrence, do we know what's going to happen next week? Is there any idea if you psychically look into the future?
Well, since you asked so nicely, yes, as a matter of fact, we do have another amazing guest who's going to come on next week. Their name is Elida Birch, and she's a shamanic practitioner. She's also the author of a really wonderful book on how to incorporate shamanism into your everyday life. So she's got a program that people can connect with to find out more about that. And she's been my friend, teacher, and mentor for over 20 years now. So really wonderful person.
Wow.
It should be a really great, powerful show, much like tonight. So there you go.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. I'm excited to have her on. Can't wait.
Yeah,
to meet
we're just
her.
Lucking out with these
and
amazing
again,
guests.
I know. And Reverend D, thank you again for being here.
You are
just
most
such
welcome,
a pleasure
both
to,
of you.
Thank
yes,
you so much.
You have
it
to
was
come
really
back
wonderful.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel
and
like we just
have
some more of your stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. Anytime. Anytime.
All right. Well, on behalf of the Psychic Funhouse, we thank you for listening every Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Please remember to like our page here on Blog Talk Radio and follow us, okay? Thank you so much, and we bid you adieu. Thank you so much
okay.
for listening.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir, mon ami.